You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media and Connecting Industry. I'm Kieran Moran. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have the Managing Director of Gladstone Drafting, Anthony Bunan. Gladstone Drafting's focus is to service the resource industry, as well as construction, mining, infrastructure, local government and building design sectors, applying engineering, design, drafting services from conception to completion. Welcome, Anthony, to the program.
Morning, Kira. How are you?
Yeah, another great day, as we know, in Queensland as it is, and we're both in Queensland. And before we get onto the business, so as we said in the introduction there, you're the Managing Director of Gladstone Drafting, and attached to that business as well as the Queensland 3D laser scanning. Now, of course, as I said, we'll get into the business. So within Gladstone Drafting, industrial design, mechanical design, structural design, civil and infrastructure design as well, and a number of others there. But before we do start, I want to go back to the beginning. And it looks like the beginning you were a, God help us all, and I myself was one, a Victorian. But you grew up in Ballarat, which was some of the first works that you got in the industry that you're currently working in.
Yeah, I was originally from Ballarat, moved out to and grew up on a farm out in country of Victoria, moved back to Ballarat when I very first started working as a cadet, and then, from there, Melbourne, a few other places in country of Victoria, and then 1995, found myself in Gladstone and kind of got stuck.
Yes, kind of got stuck. I think there's many people like that in relation to, and sometimes I think of that as well. But okay, yeah. Then, so Ballarat Water Board was your first job, junior technical officer and so forth, but then that was in 1988. We don't want to give away your age at all, but also one of your first jobs as a draftsman was in 1989. Tell us how you actually, so you're obviously working on the farm a little bit with the family and so forth, and that was your upbringing out there in country Ballarat. What inspired you to move into this type of industry to become a draftsman?
I've always been interested in the building and construction type of industries. I suppose during high school I did a few different testers at a different work experience, a stint in a joinery and sawmill and in the middle of a Ballarat winter, and decided that definitely wasn't what I wanted to do, to the point that it was that cold, I think you probably could have chopped your hand off and not felt it. wasn't too keen on that, and someone suggested maybe looking at the design side of things. So I had a couple of stints as, again, work experience working in design offices and with an architect, just to, as a bit of a feel. I decided that something I liked, then steered my studies towards that. And I suppose when the opportunity came up to position as a cadet, was advertised with the Ballarat Water Board, I applied for that and managed to get it. Again, a lot of probably the reason I got into that was that I'd seen that it was something I wanted to do and steered my studies towards it. So it was in my favour at the time.
And what's your interest in it in relation to, so of course myself and many people listening aren't within the business of drafting and so forth. What is it, the technical side, or is it being able to, create something from the start and then see it being built and then seeing the outcome in the end? What's what drives you?
I think it's a bit of everything there. I love being a problem solver. A big part of our industry is someone comes to you with a problem and then you've got to work out what it is that needs to be done to fix it. So following that through, certainly the technical side, the calculations, the making things work to standard and all that sort of side is a big part of it. And also, I suppose that's the biggest part of what we do. drawings are the byproduct that we use to explain what needs to be done.
So, okay then. So as I'm looking through the years of the work that you have done, so as you just mentioned before with the Ballarat Water Board, and then you went into a local business within at Ballarat, and you stayed at Ballarat for a while, and then Leighton Contractors. So you started to get a little bit more into sort of some of the areas that you're working now, I suppose, and then the Shepparton Water Board. So from Ballarat to Shepparton, not much of a big change in that space. They are, well, you know, I think they're a few hours apart, I suppose, in Victoria from Ballarat and so forth. But of course, as we know, living regionally, that's just around the corner for many of us. Connell Wagner in the mid-90s as well. So you're starting to get up into some of the bigger boys. And then Orica, you ended up in Gladstone at Orica. How was that experience?
Yeah, well, it was a bit of a stepping stone. I suppose during the 90s, early 90s, I was basically just operating as a subcontractor for quite a few years. So either through agencies or through other contacts, you'd go in for 3 to 6 months for a particular project, and when that was done, then you'd move on. Or you know, someone like Orica and the likes, they're obviously, they've got a budget they need to spend, they've got a number of projects. So yeah, that's, you'd end up in there for a stint until that money, all those projects were done, and you can move on. But certainly initially came up to Gladstone working with a smaller consultant and got involved with the Orica of the ports and quite a few other the industries around there, and BSL, et cetera, in the mid-90s.
Yeah, I can see I could see towards the end of the 90s, you ended up working for Bechtel. It's a design, a field engineer, design draftsman at the Shell ore plant construction. When that was first going, what was that like working on?
It was interesting. It was probably my first real exposure working with Bechtel. The plant, which is, well, that was the first attempt at their pilot plant. That plant was completely demolished and rebuilt a couple of times now since, I think. But that was an interesting project. It was all rush. That being on site for that construction side of things, when you've got a big crew working with you, everything has to happen. You know, the construction ball will roll over you, I guess, if you don't keep things moving. So it's a good feel. It's actually a nice way to work.
And as you said, it's a good feel. What's the feeling like watching something that you're involved in also being demolished?
It's always interesting. It feels like a bit of a shame, but I suppose this many years in the seat, I've seen quite a few projects that I've worked on that have finished their useful life or at the point where they're due for a refresh. And it's interesting that we've been involved recently with quite a few projects in doing a major refit, refresh or extension of projects that I've worked on back in the 90s or the early noughties or something. Just the projects or the plant or the building or whatever in particular at the time has reached its useful life or it needs to be extended well beyond what it was originally designed to do. So
with that, I'm sort of interested in the part with, so how have you seen, I'm going to ask you soon in relation to how things have changed over the years and what you have seen, but just with that one, and like you said, it's reached, it's fulfilled its life and it needs a change or a refit or even completely demolished to that point and rebuilt. When you do design things now today, do you think about that within the design to put that into it later down the bracket of those things happening, and does that affect any of your design work in the way you look at things today?
It has to be back of mind. It's actually it's a requirement with design these days that you do think about how things are demolished from a health and safety point of view. Very interesting. All designs should actually go through a safety and design report. And that does include construction items, maintenance items, and all demolition at the end. Now, it's hard to think most of what we design should have a lifespan of at least 50 years. So I doubt I'll be around to see much that I was designing recently being demolished, but you never know.
Yeah, you definitely do, and especially in today's world. As you said, it's a complete requirement now in having a look at that, and probably getting more and more of a requirement. Now, look, as I see, Gladstone Port Authority and so forth, as you moved on into the late 90s, getting into 2000, I've got to mention this, Anthony, you ended up at the Whit Sundays. You had a bit of a change in lifestyle, did you?
Yeah, I had an attempt at what we called early semi-retirement. I had been involved in the scuba diving industry fairly heavily in Gladstone. I got quite involved in that. Started as a silent partner in a dive boat locally, and ended up having to take over that entity and run it. Really enjoyed it. So we started hunting around for somewhere else to go to take the boat to, and ended up with the dive shop on South Mile Island in the Whit Sundays.
Yeah, so, well, why not? Why not? Beautiful spot.
It was, yeah. But, semi-retirement doesn't quite work when you're working 7 days a week.
So. No, I'm sure it doesn't. So, after that, you got back into it. So you're a couple of years within doing that, and it's always good to have a change. And I suppose a change is a holiday. But like you said, 7 days a week, and I'm sure you're probably, hopefully, you're not working 7 days a week now. But we'll get into the business that you're doing right now soon. So you're into Hatch, and you went back to Bechtel for a little while as well. And then what inspired you? So around about 2004, 2005, you ended up creating Gladstone Drafting. Is that correct?
Yeah. I guess getting back to previous, I had always been operating as my own business, even when working with Bechtel. It was always a subcontractor arrangement. So had been running my own business from early 90s, and then we just got to the point that it's fun to try it a bit different rather than going and sitting in someone else's office or the likes. We thought we'd give it a crack as actually start employing. Well, I actually had a couple of people working for me already, so thought let's hang a shingle and create actually move into an office. So yes, we did that, and had that office in Central Line for 16 years until last year when we moved up into Goodern Street. So.
Well, Gladstone has always been, well, not always, but for at least the past 40 to 50 years, an industrial town in what's being done here, and a number of projects being built and so forth. 2005, what was happening in Gladstone then?
Good question. What was happening then? My memory's not that good.
Can you remember, okay, then within Gladstone Drafting, can you remember some of your first projects that you got involved in?
Yeah, look, 2005, we were heavily involved with the port. In fact, I think from within a very short time of, opening up the office, we grew to, about 8 staff, and nearly everyone was working on port projects at the time. So that was either maintenance projects or the port was going through a major expansion, like a $600 million expansion at the time. So we were actually quite heavily involved in that project as well. We were picking up a lot of smaller infill projects, I guess, where things had been designed by the big entities, but there's little gaps where things needed to be tied in and bits and pieces. So simple things like, I think one of the projects we worked on was Shiploader 3 cabin. We designed that one from scratch, and just quite a few other bits and pieces around the place, civil works and all sorts of things.
So as I said at the start, so Gladstone Drafting, industrial, mechanical, structural, civil and infrastructure, residential building, commercial building, all design, basically fabrication detail as well, and project management. And we'll also get on to the Queensland 3D laser scanning, which is relatively a new area, new and improved area to that point over the last few years that you've got involved in with that business. But from what I see, residential building design, let's start with that. What sort of work you do there?
Right, well, I guess most of the residential things we do is more one-off type buildings. We're not interested, or we don't target the first home buyers, the cookie cutter style brick veneer. Nothing wrong with those type of buildings, but I guess it's just not really an interest to me. So we're more the second or third home builder, or renovations, extensions, something that takes a little bit more work to work out, and with the better quality homes or the high budget homes, more work from a design point of view, a little bit more flair that can go into the design, hopefully. And so that's where most of our residential type work is.
Yeah, from what I can see from some of the images you do have on your website and so forth, there is some you've been involved in some great designs in creating a home for people into that respect, which is really one of the most important places for most people to be able to feel that they have got a fantastic home and it works in a way that works for them. What do you sort of look at there in relation to that in the way, because you know, design, as you said, the cookie cut homes and so forth like that, you know, they're the simple ones, but this more, there's a lot more ways to look at, be able to design a home these days, pretty much in how it's used by the person, but also utilising, environmental factors, not only in relation to better design in electricity use and so forth, but also the surrounding areas. What do you sort of look at there?
Yeah, look, I suppose one of the first things we want to do with designing a custom home is work out what the client actually needs and wants, how they live, what the site is like, you know, whether there's a view, whether there's a great northerly aspect, whether there's a neighbour they want to block out, things like that. But also, are they the type of person who wants to come home, lock the house up, put the aircon on and watch TV, or do they more outdoorsy, do they need a place to store? Yeah, store two cars plus bikes and surfboards, etc. So you need a larger garage or more storage. Are they people in their, say, 50s or 60s that want to actually build their next home that will be their forever home, and therefore we actually look at that a bit more of that ageing in place design. So making elements there that mean that in the future they can put handrails in the bathroom or wider hallways or less steps, etc., in the house, just make it a bit easier.
Yeah, which can be challenging, especially when you're working specifically with the one or two people in that respect and what they do need. Now, I'm just going to get quickly onto commercial building design. One of the reasons I are doing that, it's only recently, last year in September, you were the winner of the BDQ State Design Award for public building, and that was for the Phillip Street Community and Families Precinct, which, for those that don't know, in Gladstone is a health sort of precinct in a way, in the Gladstone area, and it does look great, and it's a great building, and it's very versatile. But congratulations on that win, and I suppose how did all that come about?
Yeah, look, that's a project that had a very long life in our eyes. We started out very early with that. It was, I suppose, when one of the council officers was first trying to get that project to happen. We did some very early conceptual layout work to see how it might look before there was really any funding attached to the precinct. After that, we lost touch with the project for a while. I think the design may have gone out for tender, and just one reason or another, it wasn't something that we got involved with. But we actually got back involved later on after there'd been a bit of a falling out with some of the team, and we got asked to take over the project, redesign it to save quite a few million dollars on the estimated current budget without cutting back on the facilities provided. So when we got back involved, it was very much a case of most of our team involved for a while. It needed to be done in a short time frame, and the end result was fantastic.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a building that, well, buildings, I should say, in that respect, that is definitely definitely being used, and also the design around it and the gardens and so forth as well. So it looks good on the eye in that respect, rather than just a straightforward slab of concrete on the ground. Now, look, as we know, a lot of people in the Gladstone region would know you're heavily involved with the industry and so forth, and being a past president of the Gladstone Engineering Alliance as well. And, of course, you're members there. So a lot of industrial, so forth, and mechanical and civil and infrastructure as well. Give us a little bit of rundown there of some of the work that you're doing there.
Yeah, I guess we've always been now probably one of our main bread and butter for Gladstone Drafting has always been the larger industries and the mining. So we're in there as designers, either working with the client's engineers or bringing our own engineers in to assist where necessary, doing everything from some of our current projects, coal transfer chutes. We've got quite a few safety upgrades that we're involved with at the moment, so safety access into and around plant equipment. Obviously been involved with a lot of piping and plant upgrades over the years. With the civil side of things, we regularly involved with councils. We work for more than one, and water boards, upgrades in the civil and infrastructure realm. Yep. But also with your mining and heavy industry, we did quite a bit of work there with the civil side of things too. So.
Yeah, okay then. And let's get on to just finally, only recently in some respects, you've always been in relation to laser scanning and so forth, but the development of that has changed over the years. And a business attached to Gladstone Drafting, Queensland 3D Laser Scanning. Why did you move into that?
Something that we'd been using, I suppose, prior to getting our own scanners, we'd been using scanning technology for 15 years or more on some more complex projects, and they're projects where, say for example, we had a large piping design project that went through, I won't mention the client's name, but it went through a large section of their plant. We had to do, from memory, something like over 2,000 man hours of design work went into this project, and there's about 80 different tie-ins of piping that had to happen. In each one of those tie-ins had to happen at a in a small, very small natural shut down within the plant. So there's no room for cut and chut or anything like that on the actual design. Everything needed to unbolt and then bolt straight back in. So that's where the 3D scanning became very, very useful. And we started using it more and more as we did develop with the technology more. We got to the point that we were hiring equipment that was problematic because it always had to come out of Brisbane, had to be available on the day, had to allow 2 days of transport each day. So we decided let's make the move. Let's purchase our own scanner. Initially we started with one, and let's get out there and start doing it as a separate entity so that we can actually supply some of the other industries and all consultants around that didn't have one at the time. From there we've moved on. We've actually purchased a second scanner now, so we've got a hand scanner, which is opens up a whole other area of work. Just the speed and accuracy of what it can do in a smaller area is incredible. So I guess we do a lot of work for ourselves. We also do projects that we're designing, but also for other clients.
And it's, I've got to say, moving from one business and getting another area of that business building up as well at the same time, for someone who was trying to semi-retire 22 years ago or so, you certainly haven't done that. Last question I do want to ask, what inspires you to be in business? Why, it's not easy to be in business, and it's getting out of bed, and then you've got employees and so forth and people relying on you every day. What keeps you going?
Oh, that's a tough question. I guess why would you want to work for anyone else?
That is a good answer to that point.
Yeah.
Okay, Anthony. Well, believe it or not, that's at the end of the Connected Industry podcast. Thank you very much for coming on and having a chat to us.
No worries. Thanks, Karen.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.